It's a download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. All right, it's time for Studio 435, our weekly showcase of the best live music Chicago has to offer right here in our Allstate Showcase studio on beautiful Michigan Avenue. Tonight we go dream pop. The sounds of the band Panda Riot, the Chicago band by way of Philadelphia, just released a brand new album called Infinity Maps just this last week. The band is about to head out on tour. They got Detroit, Philly, New York, and Boston. Great, great rock and roll towns. And we'll be back here in Chicago on July 8th at the First Ward Chop Shop in Wicker Park. The band is Rebecca Scott, Brian Cook, Jose Alejandro Rodriguez, and Corey Osborne, and they are here. Guys, thanks for being here. Appreciate
thanks
it.
For hey, having thanks us. For
this
having
is great. I really you. Enjoy the record. I'm looking forward to hearing some of the dream pop. And as I sort of, as advertised, yeah. I kind of talked about this a little bit early in the hour. Let's talk about dream pop. Let's just start it off. That's what you guys have on your Twitter handle. Yeah. That's your setup in your bio. What is dream pop?
You know,
a bunch of eyes.
It's I guess an offshoot of the whole shoegaze genre that was really popular or reached peak popularity for a while back in the 90s.
This would be like My Bloody Valentine, yeah. Those kind of bands.
Yeah, exactly. Lush, all that kind of things. And, you know, there have been a lot of American bands that have kind of stayed the course and kept that going throughout the years since the 90s. It's kind of cool now because you've got like some of the old titans like MBV, Slow Dive, Ride's putting out a new album. I think Swerve Driver's coming through town again. Coming back after 20 years and really getting a lot of attention and bringing it back into the scene. So, you know, you kind of feel vindicated if you've been doing it for a while, you know? So, I mean, it's just a lot of fun. I think it's accessible to a lot of people, relate to it because it has that pop sensibility, but it's a little deeper, a little bit more psychedelic maybe.
Well, yeah, I mean, tell me about the instrumentation of it. I mean, when you talk about dream pop, because I see as you guys are setting up and I know from listening to the record, you know, percussions play a big part in what you guys are trying to accomplish.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like most of it it's like more or less like a basic drum, like just patterns, nothing too crazy. But then it gets deeper, more or less like what other artists like I guess with the like Swerve Driver to get more aggressive and stuff. So yeah, it definitely has its highs and lows.
I mean, I think in general something that sets the genre apart is just the idea of perspective in a mix. Like, so typically when you hear a pop song, the vocal is going to be way up front. So that's the information that everybody pays attention to. And treating the vocals as an instrument already makes it dreamier. Just, you know,
yeah, right.
If you're a folk band,
that's an interesting.
You do that.
Yeah, that's like, interesting. I guess that's a great example. I think about the music and I think about that the bands that you've mentioned. It is true. Like the vocals almost feel like another, and they feel like a guitar. They feel like another part. They're not up front, and everything else is muted behind it.
Right.
Yeah, and a lot of times we there's always vocal melodies that are pop melodies, but then we also have like on the album there's some reverse vocal parts or like sometimes where we take like my voice and put it into a sampler and like chop up the sounds and literally make the vocals into an instrument
right.
Where it was like it's, you know, there's no way, you know, when we're talking about like, okay, now we're gonna play this live, it's like I can't do some like Twin Peaks thing and like sing it backwards or something, you know, like that's not gonna happen. So like there's certain times when like the voice like literally is an instrument,
kind of like Bobby McFerrin, I'd say.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah,
but not at all.
Right?
Yeah, not really.
For I mean, when you talk, let's talk about the ability to produce the music. I mean, if you were going to get into the idea of dream pop or the shoegazing music, where is there a level of production that skill that you need to be able to pull that kind of thing off? You're talking about reversing the lyrics and putting them through samples, or the idea of a different kind of mix where the vocals are not sort of front and center. Does it take a different kind of approach to production?
I mean, I think definitely it depends how deep you want to go with your music, but we work with a lot of layers, and that is definitely something where you have to, it's puzzle pieces, you know, you have to say like, okay, you know, how big is the guitar sound? Like, where's it going to fit in? Yeah. Can we have too many instruments? And if we have too many instruments, does it add up to nothing? Because it's too much chaotic stuff. So there's definitely a line there.
And you should just say like, How many tracks?
Yeah, how many tracks
are on a song?
This is misleading. This is misleading. on an average song, maybe like 172.
What?
But that's what
172
that is.
Tracks.
Right, but what that is like taking the same instrument, like a guitar, one guitar take, yeah. and throwing it through like five different amps, and then you take that another guitar take. So there you have 15. So you can imagine,
right? It's math.
So it's yeah. just
it's infinity.
So it's a bunch of texture that you can do. Like, if you see, like, you know, when you play a drawbar organ, okay, and you have yeah, like Paul yeah. Schaefer.
Yeah.
So imagine if they're all guitars, and you just each one has a slightly different tone.
See, there's a big part. I mean, to talk about hundreds and hundreds of tracks. I mean, I think you start to get a better picture of what makes dream pop kind of come alive. The mm-hmm. idea that you are putting so much into replicating and even affecting the same source music. Mm-hmm, you know right. what I mean? Like, it's a one piece of music, it's one guitar track, but what you're doing is you're layering it to give it a sound that you're not going to replicate, like you said, on stage.
Right. It's definitely trying to have one foot in reality of a live band and another foot in something, I don't want to say like beyond that, like, but you know, mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's like that. Well, with technology in general, you can like create things that just couldn't exist in the normal, like, I don't know, 3D, 4D world or whatever.
Right, right.
Unless you have a lot of band members.
Yeah, yeah, right. Which
a
makes
lot,
it more
175 band.
You can
members.
Make which makes it a lot more impressive when you think about the things that Ride and other bands pulled off in the mid 90s.
Right.
You know, with stuff where maybe they were still using different kind of even. I don't even know if you're in digital tape at that point.
They would just have huge racks.
I mean, there was still a lot of reel-to-reel involved with that. And, you know, you're talking the early guys like Alan Moulder and stuff like that, who were pioneers coming off of the old rock, you know what I mean? But with everything that's available now in terms of being able to play live and really just create those textures, that's mm-hmm. what I think is usually what people will sit there and kind of use to decide what follows under the auspices of what. But if you're ever on like social media at all and in a dream pop fan group, you'll see a lot of people debating for days, like, does this qualify? You know, and you're just kind of like, I I'm just glad that some people like us and, you know,
well,
that we made the cut.
Let's do this.
Cool.
Let's take a quick break.
Okay.
We'll come back. We'll continue the conversation. And then we'll, after the news, we'll hear some live music in Studio 435. The band Panda Riot in studio tonight. Rebecca Scott, Brian Cook, Jose Alejandro Rodriguez, and Corey Osborne. They are playing on July 8th at the Chop Shop in Chop Shop First Ward in Wicker Park. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Stay with us. All right, welcome back. Studio 435 here on The Download. The band Panda Riot is in studio with me. That's Hello. Rebecca Scott, Brian Cook, Jose Alejandro Rodriguez, and Corey Osborne. They are playing on July 8th at the Chop Shop, First Ward in Wicker Park. This week, they're going to be heading out on tour supporting their brand new album, Infinity Maps, Detroit, Philly, New York, and Boston. Yeah!
Boom.
Rock City.
We pick up where we were just where we left off about, you know, creating dream pop in the studio and that contrast about playing it on stage. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are a lot of people, as you guys develop a sound that you like in studio, what is the philosophy about bringing it to stage? Do you try to replicate it? Do you automatically have to think about performing differently? I mean, talk about what goes into taking what you guys do in studio and translating it to the stage.
I would just say, I think we all agree, there's a big difference between kind of like isolated headphone listening by like as an individual and being in a sense of, you know, at a show and with other people and in the moment and the idea that you can't rewind it. So I would say we kind of try to go for more physicality live rather than like nuance, mm-hmm. you know, because the nuance is, you know, maybe lost in the translation of the room, what have you.
Do you have to learn that as a dream pop musician? Do you have to learn as you guys get more experience that, you know, early on in your career where you're like, oh, we're going to go right to stage with this track? And I mean, talk about the learned behavior of going from studio to stage.
Well, it definitely has been like a long evolving process. When Brian and I first started, this is like embarrassing story that I'll just like tell anyway. we didn't know what we were doing at all. And I had like, I was playing a keyboard and I had like this like big, heavy 88 key, like weighted key Yamaha keyboard that
this
I like brought,
story,
brought to the show because it was like the keyboard that we had. But then we've come a long way since then. Right, right. And like thinking back on it, it's pretty funny. But so it's definitely been a learning process and figuring out how to, because we have electronic drums and live drums.
Right.
That was really tough, like figuring out how to have that translate live. And we, you know, we experimented with a bunch of different, like, you know, configurations of which drums. We ended up with, like, Jose plays a much more like scaled down kit, mm-hmm. so that it can mm-hmm. fit in with the electronic drums rather than having like a full kit alongside electronic drums.
Do you have to learn that to complement and accompany the electronics?
Yeah, I mean, I'm like traditionally just like a regular like full kit drummer, so to really like minimize my playing, that kind of was like, I was bummed out, but
it was insulting.
I was like, how dare you guys? But if you're a good drummer, you kind of know how to like work around it and just have fun with it. And, you know, I feel like at the end of it, I was just like, all right, I could do this. So,
well, I mean, in a way, as a band that has, you know, you put so much into what you do in the studio.
Yeah.
It gives you an opportunity to have a dual personality, to be able to have two outlets, if you will, to have the studio and the stage. Do you guys take full advantage of that? I mean, do you think about that when you're writing a song and you put that song together? Are you in your head already thinking, this is how it's going to sound on the record and this is how it's going to sound on the stage?
I think that, I mean, there's room for both. If you look at the new record, there's so many tracks on there. I think it's 18 tracks that really we could do live, but really I think are best, like you said, kind of on your own, listening to with good speakers or good headphones on or something like that. I've always believed that when you come in, you know, when you're playing live, people shouldn't be able to talk over you. You know what I mean? You've got the amps, you've got the mic, you know, so we like to, I think, you know, I've tried to emphasize as much as we can, like, you know, when we're translating this stuff that, you know, we come in and work on, well, the nice thing is we practice in our studio. So, I mean,
right.
You know,
yeah,
it's
right.
It's easy to kind of test some of those feels and kind of see what works, what doesn't work quite as well. And you kind of, you know, go from there. So
do you guys as a band, do you have a philosophy on how honest you want to be with that track? Meaning, do you think about that? You're like, well, this, you know, we sold this track on the record and it's got all this great stuff on it that we were tinkering with. Mm-hmm. We need to deliver that to the audience on stage. Or are you like, we just already know that's not going to be there and we're going to find a different way to approach it?
I don't know. I don't know if it's necessarily a bad thing that not everything is always performed. Sometimes, like, there's certain songs that could just be your own. It's weird to hear a song that you really, really like, and then you go see a show with a bunch of other people that you've never seen, and they all really, really like it. And there's something good about that, but there's also something kind of sad about that.
that's truth, man. Yeah. That's right. That is truth. But, that's honesty.
So yeah. So
I don't want to like what you like.
Well, no. But there's something like it's like your own. You know, it's your own, and the, like to be in a communal space with it is odd. I would feel worse if we tried to translate stuff that would just not translate.
Yeah,
you
right.
know?
Well, I've always wondered, like, as artists, as you create the music, that's going to be on a new record or that you're going to tour with, mm-hmm. just how you approach, the song. Is it the demo that you guys put together that you say, this is the song, this is what we're doing? Is it the production that you guys do, the 170 tracks in studio? Is it the, which is amazing. Trust me, as someone who's proficient on Pro Tools and understands it, I mean, it's amazing to think that you're going that deep with the music.
Yeah.
And impressive. Or is it, you know, sort of the energy and the feel that you have in this sort of connection with the audience that's in the space? What is the ultimate experience for you guys when it comes to writing a song?
It's like just like the energy, because it's like, you know, like whenever you like start on a new song, you're excited, you know, you're kind of like, all right, like whether it is like doing like the guitar or like the drum work or the bass line or just the vocals. I mean, like whenever I do my drum parts, I'm like excited just to share something that's new. That's kind of like, all right, no one else is going to hear yet, but then it just evolves and takes shape along the way. And it's like, it's just wonderful, you know?
And yeah. And I think like the songs are kind of, or most of the songs other than the little instrumental songs, like the more like pop songs, I think they kind of function at two levels at the same time. Like there's something about the songs where there's like, we kind of like to think like if you can strip the song down to just like the guitar and the vocals or something, and it's still a good song, yeah, then that means that it's like really good.
Right.
So it's like, it kind of, I feel like the songs always, like we never want to like hide behind like a lot of layers and stuff, you know, to make it we added all these textures to hide the fact that really like it's a crappy melody or something, you know, like, so I think that like the songs that we try to write are songs that are always going to function at like in multiple contexts.
Rebecca Scott, Brian Cook, Jose Alejandro Rodriguez, and Corey Osborne in studio. They are the band Panda Riot. They got a new album out called Infinity Maps, and they're going to be heading out on tour this week, Detroit, Philly, New York, Boston, and they'll be back in Chicago on July 8th at First Ward Chop Shop in Wicker Park. All right, let's take a break. We'll get an update on tonight's news. We'll sound check in the break, and we will get some live music here in Studio 435 from Panda Riot. Stay with us. All right. Welcome back to The Download here, 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. It's Studio 435, our weekly showcase of the best live music Chicago has to offer. Tonight is no different as we go dream pop, the sounds of the band Panda Riot. The Chicago band, by way of Philadelphia, just released a new album called Infinity Maps. They are Rebecca Scott, Brian Cook, Jose Alejandro Rodriguez, and Corey Osborne. And they are ready to play live here in Studio 435. Here is the track Helios. Take it away. We'll be right back. Yes, there you go. I love it. Listen to that. Helios, the name of the track. The band Panda Riot in studio. They are going out on tour this week. They're going to be in Detroit, Philly, New York, Boston. Be back here in Chicago on July 8th at First Ward Chop Shop in Wicker Park. The band, Rebecca Scott, Brian Cook, Jose Alejandro Rodriguez, and Corey Osborne. Here's what we're going to do. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get some more live music here with Panda Riot in Studio 435. Stay with us. It's Studio 435 here on the download, 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. In studio tonight, the band Panda Riot. They are going to be at the Chop Shop on July 8th. That's the Chop Shop First Ward in Wicker Park. The band, Rebecca Scott, Brian Cook, Jose Alejandro Rodriguez, and Corey Osborne are in studio tonight. They are playing music before they head out on tour. They're supporting their album, Infinity Maps. So let's get right back to it. Here they are live in Studio 435 with the track Gold Lines. Take it away, guys.
Wish I could go away. Oh,
go. Yeah. Woo. The band Panda Riot in Studio 435 tonight. They're going to be playing at the Chop Shop, First Ward in Wicker Park on July 8th. They are just released their brand new album, Infinity Maps, last week. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to go right back into our last track. The band is Rebecca Scott, Brian Cook, Jose Alejandro Rodriguez, and Corey Osborne. Very excited. Here is the last track we're going to have tonight in Studio 435. It's a twofer, as they say in the business. Here is the track, Arrows. Take it away, guys.
Inside, you're just
feel it. You can feel the energy in here. The sweat. Yeah, yeah, I love it. The sweat is real. Panda Riot, Chicago's Panda Riot, playing a little Dream Pop in Studio 435 tonight. They're going to be at the First Ward Chop Shop in Wicker Park on July 8th. This week they're heading out to Detroit, Philadelphia, New York, and Boston. Good luck on that tour, guys. You also, the album Infinity Maps is out now. I can't thank you enough for being here in Studio 435. You guys are great.
Thanks so much. Thank you, guys. That was a blast.